And as we look at this video today of these, we find fulfillment in serving in ministry. But I also want to point out that every generation is represented in our ministry teams. We didn't plan it like that. I didn't tell them you need to pick this age group or that age group. It's just part of our DNA. It's a picture of who we are. And if you want to serve, there's a place for you to serve. We don't make anybody serve. You don't have to serve, but you will be fulfilled when you do. And this is who we are. No matter what age group you find yourself, we have the same structure of servant leadership in every area of the church. Many churches that you go into, you will find that there is a huge disconnect between the children and student ministry and the sanctuary, because they are run what I call as silos. The children's ministry is separated from the student ministry, and the student ministry is separate from the sanctuary. And so when they come to an age that they come into the sanctuary to worship with the church, it is a foreign place to them. It is strange to them because it is so different than what they are used to. But I'm thankful today that we have a structure in place, and it's not just here in the sanctuary, but our children operate under the same structure that we operate in here. Our student ministry, every area of no matter what age group you're in, the structure is the same, so that the children are trained and learned about having a experience, how they can come in and serve. And then as they do, they can go into the student ministry and they can serve there. So when they come into the sanctuary, we're not having to train them and reprogram them. They already know how to serve. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. And as a result, our generations come together. And as a result of generations coming together, we're off to one of the greatest starts that we have had here at the Tabernacle in every aspect and every area that you can think of. We have shared the ministry with generations. And as a result of that, God has blessed us. Amen. This is not a one-man show. This is not my church. This is not your church. This is the kingdom of God. I said, this is the kingdom of God. And we're not building upon a personality. I'm planning on being around a long time, but if I drop dead tomorrow, the kingdom will keep going on. Because we're not building upon me. We're not building upon my personality. We are building upon the kingdom of God and the structure that God placed in the New Testament church. And we are seeing the vision of God come to pass in this place because God is faithful to his word. Amen. The teams make it happen every week here at the Tabernacle. I don't know if you ever took time to thank somebody in the parking lot or not. Right? But they're out there helping you to find a place to park. They're in the rain, they're in the sun, they're in the snow. They're there to help to serve you. Amen? Yes. The greeters are to greet with a smile and show the love of Christ at the door. The ushers usher with joy. We have the follow-up team that follows up and makes sure that people are cared for and taken care of. We have the shock and awe team, which is the media and the lights and the sound and the website and live streaming. By the way, my beautiful wife for 22 years watching me on Ustream today. Hello, baby. Love you. All right. Thought I'd just put that in there. Amen. Got 22 years yesterday. We just celebrated. Amen. This week is always a special week because not only is it our anniversary, but it's also the anniversary of the church. And yesterday was, or on Friday, was 4 years of her and I being the lead pastor here at the Tabernacle. And so it's always a joy. This time is a time of celebration for us. Amen. And so we have the Shock and Awe team that is doing a phenomenal job. We have our worship team that leads us into the presence of God. We have children's ministry that consists of Tab Kids and Explorer Kids. We have student ministry, which is driven in the drama. We have our life groups that are making impacts upon so many, and it grows stronger and stronger every time that we do it. We have all kinds of connections, and we're having different teams that we're putting together as God helps us to be stronger and stronger, so that it is important that we involve every generation so that the ministry and the vision will not have a gap in it, but that if one generation to the next will tell the goodness of God, and it doesn't matter what takes place or what comes or what goes, the vision will be implanted into another generation so the kingdom of God can go forward. Amen. Now, you say, well, you talk a lot about generations. I talk a lot about generations because God has a lot to say about generations. And where we get messed up is when we think that it's all about us. Amen. I am going to get all I can get in my generation. Come on, somebody. But it isn't just about me. It's about another generation that is yet to come. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to fulfill and do all, be all, and accomplish all that God has ordained for me to do. Amen. But whenever I have run my race and I begin to fade, I am going to impart enough into the next generation that they can keep on running. Amen. Whenever I get weary, I know that it's in good hands because the vision has been implanted so entrenched into their hearts that what I am not able to accomplish, they will get done. Amen. Moses had an experience at the burning bush. Moses has this experience with God where the burning bush, and God begins to foretell of the deliverance of Egypt. And he begins to talk about delivering them out of bondage. And what is interesting is how God introduces himself. He says, he don't say, Moses, I am your God. He says, I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. And I am the God of Jacob. And when God, as I said last Sunday, when God gets ready to do something big that is going to blow their minds, he introduces himself and he says, this isn't just about one generation. But what I'm about to tell you, it's going to take multiple generations to see it come to pass. Amen. You see, if you just want something to spring up overnight, then you can, go out and put you a little plant in the ground. But if you want something that'll last for years, you've got to plant an oak tree, baby. And how many know it takes a long time for that oak tree to become what it's supposed to be? And so you've got to decide what you want. Do you want fast food or do you want a filet mignon? It just depends on what you want. If all you want is something quick, fast, and easy, and in a hurry, then it can happen. But whenever God gets ready to do something great, he says, I've got something in mind. And that's what this generation today, we are always thinking about the now. Don't think about the now and don't have any perception or I thought given to the future or what will take place in the future. But you see, the reality is God is not just a God of the now. He is a multi-generational God, and time is nothing into him. He is not confined by time. He is not confined by the box of generations. He is a God that is outside of time, and in eternity, he does everything, and in time, he brings it to pass. And so what we have to understand is that God is saying, I'm a generational God. And Moses, I want you to understand what I'm about to do. I am going to do for not only Abraham, not only Isaac, but it's going to take three generations for me to do what I'm about to tell you. Amen. God is about to show himself and break this bondage of slavery that these people were in. God defines himself generationally. He reveals himself generationally, and he manifests himself generationally. Every generation has an experience with God, amen, that is interesting to them, because every generation has a different way that they connect with God. But I want you to know that he reveals himself, he defines himself, and he manifests himself to every single generation. So if you want to be a part of something that is huge, then God says, get ready, because when you begin to want something done like God, you've got to think like him, you've got to talk like him, you've got to act like him, you've got to perceive like him. And that means God has given you a revelation and an understanding of generations. Because when you have an understanding and a revelation of generations, you understand everything God puts in your heart will not be accomplished in one generation. Amen. You look around this church today and you will find all generations that are well represented here. Amen. That is no accident. It has taken a lot of work. Amen. It is on purpose. It's the kind of, in this kind of church, everybody doesn't like. But it is not our assignment to get a church that everyone likes. It's an assignment to fulfill the purpose and the mandate that God has for us. Amen. And you see, some people like old church. They don't like anything to ever change. They want the same songs. They want to do the same thing. They want to do it the way they did it in the 50s and don't want nothing to change. Other people want everything. They want cutting edge. They want it so cutting edge that it cuts the anointing out of the church, and there isn't no place for the Holy Spirit to flow. They just sit around and eat their donuts and drink their coffee, and there is no manifestation of power and glory. But you see, my assignment is not to stay where we are, and it's not to be so cutting edge that we forget that it takes the anointing of God to accomplish a thing. But it is my assignment that we raise up a church that is diversity, that has balance and has power in it, that whenever people come into this place, that the yokes will be destroyed and burdens will be removed. Amen. And the power of God will transform and change their life from generation to generation. Hallelujah. On the brink of one of the greatest deliverance ever known to mankind, God shows up and says, I'm the God of generations. In other words, what I'm about to do isn't just about delivering this present generation. It's about generations to come. And so you see, for the past 4 years, we've been bridging that gap between generations. Why? Because the working relationship between generations is the key to a healthy church. It is the key to a thriving church, and it is also the key to a growing church. Amen. And so we have to understand that there must be a generational connection that will take us not only from where we are, but where God is leading us to. Now in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7, it says this, and I will establish my covenant, say covenant, between me and you and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and your descendants after you. God makes this covenant with Abraham and his seed and the generations to come. Let me say that again. God makes this covenant not only to Abraham, but he makes it to Abraham, to his seed, and to generations yet to come. And then Genesis chapter 22 and verse 17, he said, and in blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your seed or your descendants as the stars of the heavens and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants, not you, your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth will be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. This is a promise that is connected to the covenant in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 7. Amen. Genesis 17 gives us the covenant, and Genesis 22 gives us the promise. And they connect the two together. If we make the mistake of thinking that God only made covenant with Abraham, then we would think that God was not faithful to his word, because Abraham would not see the fulfillment of what God had told him. But how many know God's not a man that he lies? Oh, the son of man that he repents. Amen. When we make this covenant, it is not just about a man, but it is about multi-generations that are about to hear the covenant and to hear the promise that God gave him. The covenant was not for Abraham. It was for Abraham and multiple generations to come. The promise that goes with the covenant is that through your seed, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Abraham and Sarah waited a long time, and they were old and tried to help God, right? They tried to help God out because they were getting old. You know, the clock was ticking and time was running and things quit working and all that kind of stuff. And so they started trying to help God out. But God didn't even recognize, amen, we see that Abraham produced. Because when he told him, bring your son, your only son. Amen. Bring your only son Isaac to the top of the mountain. And so what we see here is that after all that Abraham and Sarah's resources dried up at 90 years old, they held that promise in their hands. This was the very beginning of the promise, because when they looked into his eyes and they seen that promised seed, but yet even then Abraham had an understanding that this is not the fulfillment of the covenant. This is the seed. This is the beginning of the covenant that is yet to come to pass. In your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Isaac was not just the beginning of the promise. He was the beginning of it coming to pass. Isaac had to grow up and have a child of his own by the name of Jacob. And Jacob had to live through a night fight. He had to wrestle his way through. He had to, like many of us, he had to have an attitude adjustment. He had to have a personality change. Amen. And it wasn't Dr. Phil. Amen. He wrestled all night long. He struggled. But at the end of the fight, his name was changed from deceiver to Israel. Amen. And it was through this nation Israel that all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Oh, come on, somebody. Amen. I tell you that Abraham got the promise. Amen. He was the receiver of the promise. Isaac was part of the plan. But it wasn't until Jacob was born that the beginning of the fulfillment of the plan started to take place. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm telling you, it took three generations. Amen. Coming together for the fulfillment of the covenant of his people. Amen. He told Abraham, this is what I have in mind. This is what I want to do. But it also was so huge that one generation cannot see the fulfillment of it. I need three inner generations that will be willing to put their differences aside, put their thoughts aside, put their opinions aside, and come together. And if they'll get around the vision, if they'll get around the covenant, if they'll get around my promise, I'll bring it to pass. Glory to God. That's the reason why the devil fights so much. That's the reason why one generation hates on another generation. Huh? That's the reason why the enemy's got some people acting like it's all about them and not about another generation. The devil is a liar. You need to get over yourself. This isn't about you. This is about advancing the kingdom of God. I said this is about advancing the kingdom of God. And while we're bickering about generational differences, your children are on their way to hell. You ought to be ashamed of yourself.
while we're bickering about all of these things in our own lives and the way we want it, and we can't get a hold of the vision and the purpose for which God has created us, we are just going through la la land and never imposing the kingdom of God upon the earth. But I come to tell you today, when generations will put their differences aside and say, yeah, this is my preference, but it's not about my preference, it's about advancing the covenant and the promise of God in the earth, and that's what I'm going to do. Amen. It took Abraham having Isaac and Isaac having Jacob before the covenant became perfected covenant. Before it became a fulfilled promise. And you say, well, what's all that have to do with us? Because when you look at the Bible, there are not multiple covenants. There is one covenant. And that is the covenant that God gave Abraham. When you see God talking to a generation about a covenant, it will always be because they had broken the covenant that God had spoke to them. And it's not a new covenant, but it is a reconnection to the covenant that God had spoke to Abraham and said, now come back in line with this. Amen. And we still today are an inheritance. We still have a part in the covenant that God gave Abraham. In Acts chapter 3, we find ourselves in Abraham's covenant and his promise. He said there in verse number 13, and God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate. And when he had determined to let him go. And then in verse 19 it said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins might be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before you was preached unto you, whom the heavens must receive until the time of restitution of all things. With God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Amen. This is our part of the covenant. This is our part of the promise. The same God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has promised in this last day that there will be a return of a power to this last day church. He said that there is going to be, first of all, times of refreshing. But what has to take place is generations have to come together before there can be a refreshing. I've heard it said that the revival is coming through the younger generation. But I submit to you, until generations learn how to come together, there will be no revival at all. Yes, young people will have a part to play. Yes, middle age will have a part to play. I told you last week that there is a generation that is living. There is a generation that is fading. And there is a generation that is coming. And we have to have all of those three generations that are now upon the earth. We have to operate together. We have to work together. And in our operating and working together, God promised there will be a refreshing. I know that some people have already given up on it. I know some people have come to a resolve that we just have to hold the fort till he comes. But I want to tell you, I still believe the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I believe that if God is able to deliver them out of Pharaoh's bondage, he is able to deliver us out of a sin-sick world that we presently are living in, that his power can supersede everything that is going on in this world, and we can know our God, and there will be a wind of his spirit that will breathe upon us yet once again, and it will cause the generations to rise out of the ashes of yesterday, and we will understand that we have a greater God than all of the world that is against us. This is a huge promise that has been given to us. That he, the God of Abraham, would do such a thing, bring refreshing and also bring restitution. It's so laughable that many have resolved that it will never take place. Amen. Some would say, you got to be kidding. You believe that there can be a refreshing? You believe that there can be a revival in the midst of all of this chaotic world? But I want to tell you today that the God that promised it is able to bring it to pass. I said the God that promised it is able to bring it to pass. And just like in Abraham's day, it might be a monumental task and one generation will not be able to make it happen. Amen. That generation that is fading can push and work and labor and toil all they want to. But if all you got is your generation, you'll never see it. Amen. The generation that is living, you can fight on your own. You can do all you know to do and say we've got the strength, but it'll never happen. A generation that is coming will not have the ability because they don't know the promise. They don't have a revelation. They don't have not received the promise of God. But I'm telling you, when we come together, we can take the forces of hell and push them back, and the kingdom of God will be advanced not only in our church, but in our region, in our nation, and in our known world. Generations that come together, we see the fulfillment of our promise. And times of refreshing will come. Not only times of refreshing, but times of restitution. Some people say that, misquote that, and they say to restore. But it's restitution's more than to restore. Restitution is not only to get back what you lost. It is to be paid for the time and compensation that it's been gone. And there has been a great vacuum in the church of power. There has been a great vacuum in the church of His anointing. Amen. And we have allowed the enemy to come in and disconnect us from the source of power and strength and life that has been given to us. But I want to tell you today that as we come together, that's the reason I can't impose upon you enough. That's the reason that the devil doesn't want us to put our differences aside and generations to come together. Because when we do, none of the gates of hell will be able to stop the move of God. Why, Pastor? Because He said where there is unity, there is a commanded blessing. And where that commanded blessing comes to, amen, nothing can stop it from flowing in your life. Amen. Restitution of all things. I'm not concerned just about getting back. I'm concerned about paying up. Amen. That's the reason why the Bible said when a thief is found, he has to restore seven times. Amen. What he has taken away. Restitution is not only about getting back, but being compensated for the time that it has been gone. Now let me share this with you. I tried to get here last week and I wasn't able to, but in Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, it's multiple generations, but I want to talk about two generations. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. And an angel answered and said unto her, talking about Mary and Elizabeth, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth shall hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Mary is very young, somewhere between 12 and 16 years old. But God chose her. Elizabeth is well stricken in years. She is old. Mary is a teenager. Elizabeth is an old woman. But they're in relationship. They're related. And they're both pregnant at the same time. Two different generations, but both of them pregnant at the same time. Mary didn't do anything to get pregnant. She had to talk to her mom and daddy a long time to figure, you know, get them convinced of that. Said, I ain't been nowhere and don't know no man, right? She didn't do nothing. And she comes up pregnant. Elizabeth is working hard to get pregnant. And ain't nothing happening. Right? I mean, we're adults here. Y'all got to, you figured that out, right? I don't have to discuss that anymore. I mean, they're trying to have a baby. So they're doing everything they know to do, right? To have this child. And yet, even in their trying, there is nothing happening. And we have two generations pregnant at the same time. One generation has been trying for a long time. And now here comes this other generation, and seems like they just get so easy what another generation's working so hard to get. Y'all quiet in here. Two generations wanting the same thing. One's laboring hard, one's working hard, and the other, it seems like it's just handed to them. They didn't even really ask for it. It just happened. They haven't fasted for it. They haven't prayed all night. They haven't been pushing. They haven't been plowing. And yet we've got this other generation that's been praying, been seeking God, been plowing, been laboring, doing all they know to do, and are still barren. And Mary was the one that everyone was talking about. She got all the press. She got all the attention. Right? Everybody's talking about Mary. There ain't nobody talking about Elizabeth. Mary's getting all the attention. But what they didn't know is 6 months before. Amen. When the time was right, at the fullness of time, this elder woman is 6 months ahead of this younger woman. Amen. This elder generation is running ahead of this younger generation for a purpose. And God told Mary, you need to connect with Elizabeth. Come on. You need to connect with Elizabeth, because there isn't anyone in your peer group, there isn't anyone in your generation that is able to relate to the stage of life that you are now in. No one can tell you what it's like being pregnant in your age group. Nobody knows what you're dealing with. Nobody knows the emotions and the feelings and everything that goes with it. You need to connect yourself with a generation that is running ahead of you. Amen. No one in your age group, no one in your generation is able to relate. Amen. You can't just connect with anyone. You have to connect with someone that is running ahead of you, someone that is going on, someone that's got something on the inside of them that is like what's on the inside of you. Yes, see, I tell you that today, it just be getting old don't make you wise. I've seen some folk getting ready to step off the scene and still just as crazy and dumb as they can be. Amen. Age don't make you wise. Neither does young make you smart. But Mary, it's important that you connect with Elizabeth. Not just any person in that generation, but somebody that's got inside of them something like what's in this inside of you. Amen. And now she begins to speak to her and says, go over there and connect with her. Mary, the young generation, is walking in the presence of the previous generation, and she honors her. She greets her. Amen. It's not just a salute or a salutation. She didn't salute her, but she honored her. She respected her. And the purpose of what was in Elizabeth is to make a way for what is in Mary. And so when Mary begins to salute Elizabeth, she begins to, that which is inside of her begins to come alive so it can produce and prepare the way for what's inside of Mary. Amen. I'm telling you, generations have got to come together. Amen. Because you see, Elizabeth, if Mary, this younger generation, doesn't come and connect with this older generation, what's in this older generation is dead. What's inside of her, even though she's been carrying it for 6 months, hasn't moved. It's not alive. She's carrying it, but it doesn't have any life in it. But the moment that this younger generation connected with this elder generation and saluted or honored her, praise God, what was inside of this older generation came to life. Hallelujah. I want to tell you today that the thing that is in Elizabeth won't leap until it's saluted by another generation. That means that this elder generation has to live a life that will cause the younger generation to honor and respect it. Amen. And it means that this younger generation has to understand that honor and respect will connect you to the blessing that God has for you. Amen. The thing that was in Elizabeth began to leap when Mary saluted it. That's what Mary can bring to life, what is in Elizabeth, so Elizabeth can prepare the way for what's in Mary. I'm preaching better than you letting on today. You need to get this tape and listen to it about 16 times. Amen. This isn't just something I conjured up. It's something that's been in my spirit for years. And I'm coming to a better understanding of it, that when we come together as generations and we line up and we honor and we respect Mary, there's no way that there's no use of Mary giving birth to what's inside of her. If Elizabeth, what's in alive and is dead in Elizabeth, because there is no one to prepare the way. And as great as the anointing is, and great as you are, and as great as your talent is, if this other generation, if you don't connect with them, and if they don't prepare the way, then that generation will not be ready to receive your gift. And so we have to connect with one another. And that's what Elizabeth can prepare the way for Mary. When generations come together, that's what the ends. What's inside of them begins to come to life. If Mary had have never connected with Elizabeth, she would have come to full term, and her potential would have given birth to it dead. And if Elizabeth, what's inside of her potential, doesn't have life, then it doesn't prepare the way for the coming of Jesus Christ. You see how important it is for us to fulfill our purpose in every generation, but yet not let us say we've got it all, we can do it all, we can be all. Because there isn't none of us that can accomplish it within ourselves. What God is doing is bigger than one generation. What God is doing, amen. You say, well, I want to see it. Yes, I want to see everything that I possibly can. I want to see the coming of the Lord. I want to see the fulfillment of the promise that the glory of the Lord covers the earth as the waters covers the sea. But I'm going to believe it every day. I'm going to prepare for the way for it to come. But if it does not come in my time, I'm going to prepare the way so my sons and my daughters will be able to stand on a platform that has never been allowed me, and declare that God is an awesome God, and see the glory of the Lord cover the earth just like He said it was going to happen. Oh, come on and give Him praise in here today. Come on, give Him praise for a generation that'll prepare the way. Give Him praise for a generation that'll come, glory to God, and fulfill the purpose of God in the earth. See, the enemy wants us to not understand how powerful it is. The enemy wants to keep us blind and in hostage and make us feel as though that it is just about this one part. And if we don't see it, we think God's a liar. No. He's not. Some people try to Americanize God. And they think that the only thing happening in the kingdom of God is what they see happening in America. You need to get on a plane, baby. Yeah, you need to get on a plane. Because the kingdom of God is bigger than America. And while we are in a demoralized state in America, there is revival that is sweeping the nation. And the kingdom of God, amen, is advancing each and every day. The kingdom of God is growing stronger and stronger every single day. And I submit to you, it is because generations have come together. You go across the third world countries and you'll find the children ministering with the students and the students ministering with the adults. And the kingdom of God is advancing. It's catapult into darkness and cause darkness to back up and the kingdom of God to be advanced. And I submit to you today, when the kingdom of God begins to get this revelation in America, nothing will be able to stop the flow and the move and the power of God. Get ready. Because those who are about ready to step off of the scene, God will reach out and touch them with a mighty hand. Their heart might have been hardened. They may have said they didn't believe in God. They may be frustrated with life, but the Holy Spirit will touch them at an old age and bring them into the kingdom. Get ready, because those you thought were crazy and chaotic, but all they another generation that you don't understand and you haven't figured out, but the Holy Spirit knows how to relate to them and reveal himself to them and bring them out of a gross darkness into his kingdom of light. Amen. We'll begin to raise up spiritual sons and daughters. We'll raise up children that know the word of God again, that know that Moses isn't a basketball player, but he is a mighty deliverer in the word of the Lord. We're going to see the power of God raise up multiple generations, and the kingdom of God will go forward with power and with authority. Oh, come on and praise him right up in here. Hallelujah. I'm not done, but I'm going to quit. I'll give you some more Wednesday. Amen. But I'm telling you, this thing is in my spirit. And I believe that the Holy Spirit's pushing on me. And I know that if we can get generations to come together, you say, well, do we have to get every? No, everybody ain't going to line up. Some people are just going to be set in their way, do it their way. But I ain't looking for them. I'm looking for somebody that will deny their self, take up the cross, and follow after Jesus and say, I will die so that he can live. Because at the end of the day, it isn't about me. It isn't about my opinion. It's not even about my generation. I'm praying for my generation. Amen. Let me brag on this church. Because this church is unique to many churches that you'll see on the landscape of America today. You'll go to churches that are old. A fading generation setting in it and have no crying babies in them. And it's one of the most discouraging things, because the church is certain to die. Not the church of the kingdom, but the building. If you don't have any crying babies, there isn't no future in that house. But you got to have the seniors. You got to have that fading generation, as I preached on that last week, so I won't reiterate. But we've got that in this house. We've got a young group of young adults that is missing in most churches today. Most churches that I preach in, and I preach quite a bit, you won't see those from the age of 20 to the age of 40. My generation is missing in the church. The teenagers in many churches in America today aren't there, because we don't have any Elizabeths that are willing to reach down to a Mary and say, let me show you the way. Let me prepare the way for you. Let me help you. and where you don't have those 20s and 40s, you don't have teenagers. And where you don't have teenagers, you don't have babies. And where you don't have babies, you don't have children's ministry. And where you don't have that, you don't have a future. But we stand here today in a place that is blessed because of hard work and because of the favor of God. Because we choose to believe that it's not about just one generation, but it's multiple generations coming together, that we will see our sons come from afar and our daughters from the ends of the earth. Amen. And I may not be able to see the fulfillment of the all, but I'm willing to prepare the way for another generation to step on the scene. I'm not going to get upset if my son does more than I do. I'm going to be upset if he don't do more than I do. I'm not calling him into ministry. I tell him he can do whatever he wants to do. Whatever he does, he'll prosper and be blessed in it. I speak that over him every night. But what I am saying is, this next generation must do more. And they ought not have to work for it. They ought not have to labor for it. It's like we have. We've paid the price so that we lay a foundation that is higher. So what we work and we labor for, they enjoy. Amen. My father's prepared the way for me. Many of you don't know what this man and my mother did, that this church can be where it's at today. I know. And it's just not about my family. One of the greatest joys that I had was on Mother's Day. And Brother Ralph told me we need to change it up and start having it on Father's Day. Baby dedication. If I'm not mistaken, there was two families here that had four generations that are worshiping in this house. Four generations. That's the blessing of God. Where there's unity, there's a commanded blessing. What is that commanded blessing? Life forevermore. There's a hunger in my heart. There's a burning in my spirit. And as great as it has been, something tells me there's much more. And we've got to push a little harder. We've got to work a little longer. We've got to prepare the way. For God wants to show himself in a brand new season in the hour in which we're facing. Hallelujah. Stand with me today. Father, I love you today, and I pray that somehow that today what I failed to be able to articulate with words, what is in my heart, I pray your Holy Spirit makes up the gap. God, because there are some things that can't be taught, they have to be caught. And I pray that there be a revelation that will be received in this season, in this moment, God, of generations coming together. That we may see the fulfillment, the impact upon the earth, what you desire for us to do. God, I pray today that your kingdom come, your will be done, not only in my life, but in the life of those that are fading, those who are living, and those who are coming. Let your kingdom be established within us today. In Jesus' name I pray. Hallelujah. With your heads bowed for just a moment, I wonder today, there be some here today that say, Pastor, I don't know Christ as my personal Savior, or maybe you aren't in that relationship that you need to have with God, but today you would say, I want to get in that place where that I can fall in line, where I can be a part of the blessing, that I can be a recipient of what God has for me. You know today that you're not in that place. You know today that you're not living for Him. You'd say, today I want to make that commitment. I want to make that change. Can I see your hand today? Can I see your hand today? Is there one? Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for your promises today. I thank you for your word. I thank you for every generation. And I pray, God, that we have perception, that we have revelation of generations, that we're not an island to ourselves, but Mary needed Elizabeth just as much as Elizabeth needed Mary to fulfill their purpose and their destiny. I pray, God, that you so intertwine and connect that in our minds today that it will supersede anything that we have ever thought or anything that we have come to resolve in. That, God, today we will know that it takes generations to fulfill your purpose and your destiny over our lives. And God, I give you praise and thanks for what you've done. But we know that you that have begun a good work in us, you're going to watch over it and hasten to perform it. And we give you praise and give you thanks for that today. In Jesus' wonderful name. Hallelujah. Will you give him an ovation of praise this morning?